Welcome to NFL Schwitz. I'm Ben at Boy With No Job. I'm here with Vic at VWeb and Jack at Jack Not John. Is this week eight? Is
that we what are this is? Week eight.
Week eight. We're going to start off with some headlines, go into some power rankings, MVP race, some spread pick. I'm hopefully win you guys some a couple of gelt, maybe a couple of shekels, or maybe lose you a couple of shekels.
Can someone let us know if we're helping them out? If we're, you know, we're helping send their kid to college. I mean, which college? What's their degree? How many kids are they having?
Or if we're making it so that their kids can never go to college.
Or if your kid was going to college and now he's settling for a McDonald's gig or a community college down the road, you let me know. I mean, community college is good too.
It's all good.
However we're helping or hurting, we want to know the impact we are having on lives.
We want to know. And from there, we're going to talk a little fantasy, some Survivor. There's a big announcement coming at the end. Big, but you got to stay tuned until then. But for now, let's dive in. Headlines. Falcons trade Mohamed Sanu to the New England Patriots for a second round pick. Holy smokes, as if the Pats could get any better. Vic, I see you over there. You look like you're ready to say something.
Well, I mean, it helps the Falcons. Well, let's get one thing clear. The Falcons are 1-6 now. They are not going anywhere. This is the best they could have asked for, especially because it's a pick for this year's upcoming draft. So you get that extra second-round pick. That's huge for them. Lord only knows how many issues they have, defense and offense. But the big plus for the Patriots, you know, Josh Gordon now on injured reserve, could return later in the year, but it's most likely that the Pats don't re-sign him. So he immediately is getting thrusted into that big wide receiver because you got the scrappy guys.
Thrust.
Like Edelman.
Thrust.
I like the use of the
say
word
that one
thrust.
Thrust.
Thrust into
how
that big wide receiver
H's
role.
Are in that?
Thrust.
You got the
one.
Way you say
when
it.
I do, you like three
thrust
H's.
And four U's.
Thrust. So he's in that role, and I guess he's probably the biggest receiver by height they have. You have Edelman, you have Dorsett. Those are the smaller guys. So for me, I mean, it couldn't have been, the timing couldn't have been any better.
Wait, don't they have Ben Watson? I mean, I know he's
tight
a tight end, but
tight end.
Pass catchers.
That's what
sure.
I was going to say. That's strange, though, that because he is the biggest, Sanu is historically a slot guy. He runs those quick slants,
that's
and
good
now
point.
He's probably going to be asked to
sort of
play some more outside work, I'd think.
Yeah, he'll be asked to do any one of a number of things that
Swiss
Bill
Army
Belichick
knife.
Asks him to do.
No,
everybody
of course,
becomes
but
a Swiss Army knife.
I'm saying that his history in Atlanta, he's never been that guy.
And his blocking, which is big for the Pats because they like to run a lot of screens. He's been known as, like, I don't know how you measure this metric, but
heart.
Apparently he's got, like, one of the best, like, pass blocking abilities.
You measure
as
that
a wide receiver.
In heart, and Rutgers products tend to have a lot of heart.
And he has the best arm.
Yeah. Oh,
he has
wow.
The best arm in
wow.
football. Talk
the
about
end
some
of
trick
the
plays.
End, the end of Tom Brady, Sanu. Sanu. By the way, last week we spoke about the haul for Jalen Ramsey and how we thought it was outrageous. When I woke up after going to the Monday night blowout and seeing that the Pats got Mohamed Sanu for a second round pick, I was initially like, wow, that's a ton.
I think so,
and
too.
So I'm but it's putting it into perspective, really how much the Rams gave up for Ramsey, because that is a lot.
Yeah.
A second-round draft pick?
It's a lot, especially for a guy that
an
is
an aging wide receiver. Who's, you probably could have gotten him from the 1-6 Falcons.
You'd think for less. He is, I wouldn't call him aging. I think that he is sort of starting to come into his own. He's having a good year. I think I read
how
something
old is
like
he? I feel like he's been in the league forever.
I think he's 29. 29.
No, that's not
yeah,
young.
Definitely not young, but I think that he should do some pretty good things for the Pats. Another trade, the Broncos traded Emmanuel Sanders and a fifth-round pick to the 49ers for third and fourth-rounders. This was also a huge trade. The Niners, I mean, how much more help do they need? They're already, what are they, 6-0, 7-0?
6-0.
6-0. They're the only team undefeated besides the Pats. They
making
both,
two.
What they, I mean, it's pretty.
I like this deal. And then it was
pretty awesome.
Then they also got a fifth rounder. And yeah, oh yeah. So it was a pick in Sanders for the third and fourth. I like it. I mean, the one knock on the Niners when I look at them play is like, where's the veteran leadership? Even Bosa. I mean, he's a rookie. Jimmy G. You know, under the Brady quarterback tree. But, like, not only is this, like, a speedster, you get a guy who's got a Super Bowl ring.
Absolutely.
I mean, Emmanuel Sanders, he was with the Steelers. Broncos. I mean, talk about aging. I mean, he's aging.
Absolutely. He's got to be over 30, right?
But by the way, Mohamed Sanu's 30.
He's 30. Emmanuel Sanders is 32.
32.
So, I mean, he's got a couple of years, but this is an immediate move. I mean, the Niners are now poised to make a run. So this is who you go get.
Who do you think will have a more immediate impact between the two trades, Sanu or Sanders?
Initially, I said it was Sanders, but now that Gordon's gone, I think Brady's going to abuse Sanu in a good way. Like, he's going to look at him every time. I mean, how many times could he throw the ball deep to Dorsett or run it with, like, Bolden or James White or, you know, drop-down passes? I think Sanu presents, like, just body-wise, he presents, like, a good target to add to this team. But Brady, you know, he doesn't play favorites.
Yeah, I think it's Sanu, obviously, because of the Josh Gordon news. But more so because, I mean, Sanders he's missed a lot of practice. He's missed some games. Or if he hasn't missed games, he's just definitely not getting as many reps as he got, let's say, 3-4 years ago. He just hasn't been that kind of guy. I know that the Broncos have not had the best quarterback situation since Peyton Manning has left them. Let's just, like, call a spade a spade. When you go from playing with that guy to playing with, let's run down the list. I mean, Simeon, Case Keenum. Not Case Keenum.
Osweiler.
No, was it Case Keenum for a little?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was Case Keenum. I don't know. I feel like he lost the tail end of his wonder years.
But by the way, Jimmy G is not having that great of a year.
Right.
So
Jimmy G isn't having that great of a year. One, because they can lean on the defense.
Well, they lean on the defense.
And two, because I don't know if you can you name a wide receiver for them?
Yes. Oh. I can, but they have
very few,
Dante
which is
Pettis,
no, no,
Dante Pettis. Goodwin.
But, no, but that's what
but
I'm saying.
Those
I'm
aren't
saying
good
they're
guys.
Not,
that's why
they also have Kittle. Kittle.
But yeah. Kittle, is
season.
A top tight end
here,
in the
here's
league.
The thing.
He's
they,
not a receiver.
They love the run game.
I'm saying that's why I think that Emmanuel Sanders is a huge fucking ad, and maybe even a bigger ad than Sanu, because this is a one.
Do you think he changes it? By the way, that's a bad one. No,
it's a better one than they have.
Yes, but do you think that changes the whole game plan? Right now, they're 6-0 with
no,
ground and pound.
It doesn't.
So you know
it
what
doesn't.
I mean? I don't know if Jimmy G is going to be the Jimmy G before the knee injury,
but
like where he went out 400 yards, 5-0.
For sure. But it doesn't change the game plan for the Patriots either, because this is the greatest defense of all time. They lean on the defense. They're also running the ball. Brady's doing whatever he wants to do, of course, but I really don't think that it matters who's playing wide receiver for the Patriots. If you get a short field, they're getting a short field every time. Tom Brady's taking advantage every time, and you saw that in that Jet game, which I just put more on the unbelievable coaching ability of Bill Belichick to completely suffocate the mind of Sam Darnold to be able to do nothing. Sorry, Vic, continue what you were saying. But
No, it's always fun to get in a rant against the Jets. Why not? sadly.
I see ghosts.
But, yeah, I mean,
so sad.
I'll name those wide receivers who are guys who have been labeled as breakout guys. A lot of these guys, they've got guys like Kenneth Bourne, Richie James Jr. The only reason I know this is because I once had, it was like a Monday Night Football game in fantasy, and someone got declared out, and I had to put somebody in. And I was picking between these guys.
What
I've never
year
even heard
is
of.
This?
Literally last year.
Cortland Sutton.
Literally last year. Guys like that, except Cortland Sutton's
he's nice.
Yeah, broken out. So a lot of these wide
terrible
receivers they
skin.
Have
he's
are
broken.
Insanely young and just haven't had that. They've had that game, but there's no consistency. Maybe Sanders can expend some of his wisdom, you know, but they do have weapons and the run game is fantastic. And then, of course, you have the defense.
Are we going to see a Jimmy G, Tom Brady Super Bowl?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
You don't think so?
No, look, 6-0, you got to respect 6-0. Pats are 7-0, you got to respect both undefeateds. Pats are going to the Super Bowl. I don't know what you're doing with
agreed.
Your life if you believe that somebody else is making it there. But I can't see it happening. I can't see them beating Saints, Packers. Honestly, I think the Vikings would even be a tough test for them. I think there's too many dogs in the race.
Can
we
drop a hot take?
Yes.
San Fran loses this week to the Panthers.
It's actually, by the way, it's not that hot of a take.
I don't.
We'll get to spread pick 'em. The spread is awkwardly low.
But the Niners are good. I think you got to get. I always say this more so in basketball, but like I feel like a team has to like make a run, lose, learn how to lose, and then they recover and then they win.
I understand.
I think this team has to hit the playoffs, come together, lose because they're not that good. This offense is not one that brings you to the Super Bowl.
But Garoppolo, doesn't lose.
He doesn't lose, but he will lose.
But he doesn't. It's pretty crazy. But I think he's something like 16-2.
Well, you also have to remember that when he was with the Patriots, he only subbed in for a few starts with the Pats, and he won those few games. And that's this is the heir apparent to Tom Brady. Then last year he got hurt after they've only played 6 games. Now he's here. I agree it's there, but the sample size is insanely small. I just don't think right now 49 is just Super Bowl bound.
No, I agree. I think they're going to end the season 11-5.
Ooh. That's a hot take. So you think that they're going...
I don't think they're...
You're going 500. 500 down the stretch?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Watch out for those Cardinals.
Moving on, Detroit Lions safety Quandre Diggs traded to Seattle for a 2020 fifth-round pick. How big of a loss for this is Detroit in the NFC North? I mean, I'll just quickly jump in. I think that it's massive, and I actually can't believe that they did this. The outpouring on Twitter from his teammates across the board was like, this seemed like a glue guy, on defense. They really relied on him. And if you look this season, the Lions are having, their record won't show that they're having the best season they've had in a really long time. But defensively, running the ball, offensively, I think that to fuck with what's going on, especially when you could have easily won in Green Bay last week, just a very bizarre move to me for an insignificant fifth-round pick.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
This is an NFL trade. These are the trades.
Yeah, because you're always like, what the fuck are they doing?
I'm giving you my next year's fifth-round pick
for
that
great
starter.
Guy. Exactly.
I mean, I don't really know Quandre Diggs. I was I read through some of the tweets from his teammates and just what the leader of the defense, Darius Slay, that said enough to me. Like you don't trade a guy like this.
No.
Glue guy, whether he's the next man up, a guy who brings the team together like this, who the head of your defense feels so strongly about, you don't do that. Because now you pissed off some guys, regardless of what you get in return. Some guys are pissed.
And what are you getting in return?
You're getting, me.
It's so weird. And I always think when these trades happen, it's like, what did Quandre Diggs say? Or what did he do? It's always like, did he offend the owner? Did he, things like this.
Didn't sign the owner's grandson's jersey.
Exactly. I'm always like, what did you do that you just got traded for a fifth-round pick?
Do you think the injury to Kerryon Johnson kind of like...
No, I don't
You
even
don't think they're like...
No, I think that they'd want to load the defense.
No, they're kind of punting.
No, they're not punting. The truth is they have other guys. They have other guys in the secondary. It's not like they're going to be completely depleted the way that the Seahawks were. The Seahawks had to make this trade. The Raven just embarrassed them.
Yeah, lottery for them.
The Raven just embarrassed them. There was a play last week that went for 50 yards, and Carroll went absolutely ballistic on the sidelines. And this is why they went and got this guy. But back to the effect on Detroit, this is the second year they've done this with a guy. The reason you're seeing the outpouring of tweets, the flood, the Nile River, the gates have broken open, is because, like Golden Tate last year, this is a guy that everybody in the locker room loved. This is why the tweets are like this. And you're right, we don't know what really happened. Maybe we're going to hear something down the road. It sounds like none of the Lions players knew this was happening. And when this happened last year with Golden Tate, there was a lot of this, we just lost our leader. There's a guy in the locker room, a voice that everybody loved. So that's why the tweets happened. They seemed authentic. You've Snacks Harrison literally writing no with 80 O's. Forget about my thrust with 6 H's. He literally wrote a no with 80 O's in the tweet.
I think it was wow, no. And
there was a lot of O's.
My favorite about those is that when they read them on ESPN, they can't say, so they just say wow. Wow, no.
They're not going to give you the 3 W's, the 6 O's, and then the 3
they're
W's.
They're not meant to be read.
But I think there were genuine reactions, a locker room guy. I don't know. Maybe we're going to hear something. Who knows? But this guy's only 4 years in the league. Been a pretty damn good D's player.
26.
He was great in his first couple years, fantastic, especially when they went to the playoffs in 2000, I think it was 16. He hasn't been that big of an impact player last couple seasons. But, when you give up those presents in the locker room, that's when players get upset.
You mean presence like
presence? P-R-E-N-S-C-E.
P-R-E-N.
P-R-E-N-S-E-N-C-E.
Princesses.
P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. Presence.
Quandre Diggs, if you happen to be listening to this podcast, if you ever want to talk about what happened and If you ever have something to say, maybe you said something, you want to get it off your chest, you're always welcome on the podcast. And
or just your general feelings.
We encourage it. You know, we can make a Dr. Phil moment. And
I don't mind sharing, what are these health pop? What are these pop chips? I mean,
I don't know, something.
The popcorn, the healthy
very
popcorn.
Very healthy popcorn. Yeah. Healthy
not
popcorn.
My choice.
Organic kernels.
Yeah, not our choice.
Organic kernels. Moving on, Sam Darnold was mic'd saying he saw ghosts on Monday night against the Pats. How concerned are you with Darnold? Do you think this was simply Monday Night Lights, Patriots? I opened the floor to the two Jet fans that, Jesus Christ, that was a rough outing.
We left before halftime. I mean, we were there for an hour.
1 minute left. 1 minute
still
left.
Still before. Technically, that's
technically is before.
That was worse than Falk home to the Browns.
I've been to two Jet games.
Oh, my teams
have lost 56-3. I've been to both Monday night games.
Man.
I've missed four total quarters of the eight possible quarters. I missed four of them, and my teams have lost 56-3.
How high were the hopes?
Dude, the place was electric.
No, but I'm saying how high were the hopes of the NFL that the Jets were going to be good enough to get them two Monday night games?
Two home Monday night games
against the Pats and Browns.
All within the first half of the season. I mean, they're like, the Jets are going to come out electric this year.
It's crazy. I mean, just to quickly answer, I think that this is all Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick does this. If you're under the age of 24 and you're facing the Patriots, you're going to have a lot of trouble. He's known to twist the minds of young quarterbacks, making them see things that don't exist. I don't think he hit the panic button on Darnold because you saw he beat a very good Cowboys team at home. Like, I think that this is just hats off to Bill Belichick. You're the greatest coach of all time, and we see it time and time again. That defense is insane.
But I know Vic has a really nice tidbit up his sleeve from Brett Favre, but I did see a stat that no Bill Belichick team, what was it, like lost to a first-year or second-year quarterback?
They've now won 20 games in a row with a first- or second-year quarterback.
So, I mean, this is what Bill does. I mean, he goes out there and he makes your quarterback wish.
I actually read that when we were on the New Jersey Transit.
You still like the plus 10 now?
Loved it.
You still like it?
Do you remember what I said to you? Tonight we end it.
We knew we were going to lose that. We just thought it was going to be close.
Yeah.
You still like the plus 10?
I did like the plus 10.
Nut job.
Good thing we were on this podcast because it would have ruined my record. I actually have a good record. I've got the standings, by the way, of how we're doing with picks. NFL, forget it. You've been listening to me. You've been cleaning up.
Small note from Vic and I at the game. A large Pittsburgh Steeler contingency at this one.
A guy brings his son. I mean, I'm going to give the Brett Favre thing in a second. I don't understand this. You're on bye. Your team isn't even playing this week, and it's not even a Sunday. So I don't know what kind of pride you're doing. A father brings his son to a Steelers game. They both had jerseys on.
No, to a Jets Pats game.
To a game with their jerseys on. Players with last names we've never even heard
also,
of.
Also, they're three rows off the
and street. They're probably customs.
That's what we thought, but they were like real numbers. It wasn't like 99 or like something like double zero.
You can pick any number you want for a customer.
Right. No, these are real numbers. This guy doesn't fuck around.
And he's
Lambert
like,
does not fuck
around.
I
don't understand. Like, you have nothing better to do with your time? You're a Pittsburgh. Why don't you wait till the Jets play the Pittsburgh in week 15? Why do you feel the need to wear that jersey?
That's the question.
What are you doing? What is that? What
they're
does
allowed
that
to go
do
to the game.
You? No, like, we saw a guy get off Russell Wilson jersey, Seahawks hat. First of all, you got killed by the Ravens a day ago. You don't want anybody to know.
We saw Brian
and
Dawkins.
Second, what are you doing? What are you doing? We did. We saw what?
It was in a Broncos jersey of Brian Dawkins.
I said, look, if it was Peyton Manning, I would have been fine with that.
You wouldn't have been fine with it. It's hysterical.
No.
It's the weirdest thing.
But
it's like, I'm going to a football game, so I'm going to wear my football jersey. That doesn't make any sense.
It's not like, pick.
The worst thing is the cross sport. And not even same city.
Yeah.
Look, there's cross. Like, sometimes people wear like
Bradley
Knicks gear.
Beal jersey.
Sometimes people
to
wear like Knicks gear to a Giants game. New York.
No, that's okay.
I'll let it slide. It's not okay. When you start wearing like Chicago Bulls jersey to a Jets Pats game,
that's ludicrous.
Like, it's
I
like,
stand
unless,
with Jordan.
I was gonna say, unless that guy just always wears that jersey. Do you ever think of that? Like, do you think that
it was
Pittsburgh,
a Monday? Every
do you
Monday
think that Pittsburgh Steelers guy just always wears that jersey?
It could have been the end of the laundry rotation.
Oh, that's true.
And maybe he his just ran out of
jersey,
clothes.
He ran out for,
but,
with the Jets.
But by the way, if you're resorting to jerseys because you've got nothing left, you've really got nothing left.
And your kid's resorting to jerseys, like father, like son. So Vic and I are like, wow, that's really fucking crazy that this guy's wearing a Steelers jersey. Let's go grab a beer. We walk into like the concessions area. Another guy in a Steelers jersey walks right by us.
Really?
I don't understand.
What the fuck is happening here?
So let's just get back on track. I'll be quick with this because I'm kind of just tired of this. First of all, I'm upset that the Jets even put him. My second game back from a mono injury. Why are you miking him up? Mic anybody else up. Literally anybody else. Not the guy that doesn't even eat. We don't even know if he was really 100%. We don't really know.
He's fine.
Like conditioning wise. So here's the thing that Brett Favre said, and he said, you know, you're going to see ghosts. I saw ghosts all the time when I was a rookie, my second year. And he said he's going to see more ghosts. This is not something that just ends. You got a young quarterback. He didn't even play a full season of games last year, maybe around 10, if I'm right. He played in one this year, played in one the week before. He's only got two games under his belt this year. And then you're going against a defense that I don't even understand. If you want to measure it in fantasy points, they're averaging like 19 a week, which is just unheard of for a defense. So it's completely normal that he's seeing these ghosts, Brett Favre was saying. He saw them when he was younger. He had an unbelievable career, but he obviously wasn't mic'd up. This is back in 1999. Okay, they weren't doing that back then. So the whole ghost thing, I'm not worried as a Jets fan. He's going to see them. Apparently the whole ghost thing is when it's more when you see players, you don't really see them coming. They sort of fake the blitz, come back, or they fake that they're going to drop back in coverage. And then sort of rush in. I thought I just saw
take
a ghost.
A breath.
And I saw the ghost of
Christmas past
of Mark Gastineau. Little Jets Tim, if you're listening out there, it was our one great player.
Mark Gastineau.
From the 90s, the New York Sack Exchange, they used to call it. But I'm gonna wrap this up. If Brett Favre is saying it's okay,
it's gonna
happen. Then I'll be brief. You know, it's fine. I think everyone's got to move on from this shit. It's got to be over with. But the Jets, I mean, you got to look out for your own personnel. That's just ridiculous.
It's weird to mic someone when they're probably. I would assume that being mic'd adds some stress, and you're also thinking about what you're saying. So on Monday night against the Patriots, when you're gonna get blown out, you add more pressure by mic'ing him. It is a pretty strange.
No, I don't even know why they did it.
Hey, yeah. Coach Gase, who do you want to mic up tonight? You know what I'm going to give it to my second-year quarterback who's just coming back from mono against the Patriots, D.
I'd love
Sam Darnold to draw the ghosts that he's seeing. Like, all right, Sam, tell us about these ghosts.
It's a football term. Well, you wouldn't understand.
Oh, okay. That's right.
Like you got one of those, what are they called? The sketch artists.
Police
sketch artists to draw the ghosts that Sam Darnold's seeing.
Do we, this is just...
Yeah.
No, just a quick thought. How much does this impact what we thought that we saw of the Dallas Cowboys last week and the way that they played against the Eagles? Like, do we think that the Eagles and Cowboys game means nothing? Or do we think that they both are significantly worse than... coming out a bit jumbled.
But I think... there's like some saying, maybe Vic would know. Like, I mean, it's
any given Sunday.
There you go.
I just took the words right out of your mouth.
I'm out.
And all right. Look, was that really what you were thinking? Of course it was.
Yeah, like where's my brain that I forgot?
I don't think we need to spend. I agree because when we were watching the Eagles Cowboys game, it's like, well, where was this from Dallas against
the
Packers?
That's what I'm saying.
And where was this from Dallas? I think the Dallas Jets game was a bit of an anomaly just because Amari Cooper leaves sort of that injury. No one's seen Sam Darnold since week one. There was no tape. There was no film. I don't know. Maybe playing on a Sunday afternoon when it's like 4:30 is a bit less pressure than... I don't really know. I can't tell you. I don't think anybody can explain it. But, I mean, let's take a look at the Eagles here. For a second, you lose 37-10 to Dallas. Week before, they lost 38-20 Minnesota. Week before that, they killed the Jets. And week before that, they beat the Packers. So, Eagles...
It's just weird.
I don't think the Eagles know who they are yet. They're getting there. Their defense is horrible, but Dallas. I'm not really sure what to make of it. It's also Dallas at home. It's a completely different story.
And so, while we're talking about how much success the Patriots just had and how much success they're having all the time, completely destroying teams, in the media it comes out that Brady put his house on the market. His trainer's house is now on the market, And Schefter reported that this could be Brady's last season in New England. If he does not retire, but leaves, where do we see him going? Any predictions? It's pretty bold, but...
I'm going to go off on a limb here. I think it's going to be an L.A. team. I don't think he'd go in division to the Jets. I just don't... He's not going to, like, try and backstab a team he's been with his whole career and to Kraft, who's been so good to him. You know, vice versa. But I think a couple of years ago, I heard he'd be going out to L.A. Like, there were kind of murmurs about that. I think he goes out to L.A. I don't see him retiring because he's having
where
a great
year. Where
does
he go in L.A.?
I think he goes to the Rams.
Okay.
I just think the Rams market, they're a more solidified organization somehow. I mean, they just moved there. But, like, between them and the Chargers, I think he takes the Rams. And he could go wherever he wants. I think Goff is having kind of a down year. Maybe they ship Goff for assets. I don't know. But
it's not a terrible call.
But, yeah, I think Rams.
I'd be absolutely shocked if he ever played for a different team ever again. I think that it would be such a... I don't know. It wouldn't ruin it for me, but it's always like, why did you do that? Like, maybe he could pull a Peyton Manning and...
But where's he going if you had to pick a team?
I like your call. I'm not, like, trying to just steal it, but I think that I have not seen nearly enough from Goff at all. Last year, he was good, but the Rams were incredible. They had the best receiving core. They had the best O-line. They had the best D-line. And he looked like a capable quarterback, but... Now that there's some holes in the O-line, the defense isn't the same. If you can go out there and have a 70-passing-yard game against the 49ers, he had 70 yards 2 weeks
pathetic.
Ago. How does that happen? It's just, it's so...
Also, he's played with Brandon Cooks before, Tom Brady. I mean,
it's not crazy. And there's no way that he would go... Like, Philip Rivers is dying a Charger. Like, I think that...
Yeah, you're not going to ask Phil to step. I mean, you might. But.
That would be pretty crazy. Whatever, Vic.
No, I don't think he's going anywhere. I mean,
don't forget about Charlie Ward.
The report on Monday from Schefter, he prefaced it with, "This is my opinion. I'm not basing this on anything." I don't know why he would lie about that because he's Adam Schefter. So the whole house thing, I don't know who's got that information.
It's interesting that you said that because who else did we hear about the house thing?
Was it Schefter?
No.
You mean the Kevin Durant? Forget about
everybody's
that.
Everybody's like,
Kyrie.
Kyrie's looking in an apartment on the Upper East Side.
And by the way,
Tom
Brady already has an apartment in New York. So I don't really think housing.
He moved to Connecticut.
Real
by
estate
the way.
Doesn't even Big really world. Matter. It doesn't matter.
He moved to Connecticut.
Tom Brady, I heard he moved to Connecticut.
Dude, and Kobe didn't live in L.A. when he played for the Lakers. Like, what are we doing here,
guys? It could mean
he
nothing.
Took a chopper to the game. You think Tom's not doing that? He's got a whole brain. He's got the TB12. Come on.
TB12 chopper.
Hey, look, they're opening up stores. I'm telling you, training facilities. This guy's about business. Once he's done playing football, it's going to be in a patch jersey, and that's it.
I completely agree. And he's the GOAT, no?
Easily.
Definitely.
It's not. He's got 6 Super Bowls. Next man up, Joe Montana with 4. It's people were like debating it when he had 5. Getting the one last year was insane. If they somehow go undefeated this year, and it looks that you know they're a third of the way there, for me it's already the paper's been sealed.
There are critics who are like, but he has Bill Belichick. Like, let's see him do it without Bill Belichick. That's
Why
the dumbest.
Why should he have to do
that's
it without
the
Bill
dumbest
Belichick.
Thing ever.
Agreed.
Like he's won with the coach he's been given. They've just been, like, the best combo in football history. You can't fault the guy for just winning Super Bowls. He's been to 9 Super Bowls. Now you're going to fault him because the coach he has? No, he's the GOAT. To me, he has to do nothing else, but it would just be the perfect cherry on top if they just went undefeated and took it. Then he should just retire.
Does it not feel a little weirdly like the year that the Giants beat the Pats in the Super Bowl?
This team feels so much better.
This team is insane.
And everyone else
I'm
feels
just saying,
so much
like,
worse.
I feel like they could easily run the table. Like, I don't see them losing.
The defense is too good.
It is so good.
Defense wins championships.
Have we seen them against... Who have they played this year? Who has that defense played?
Jets twice.
I'm saying,
the
have
Bills.
They played anyone good?
The Bills.
Like
Bills, though.
We thought that not to compare them to the Cowboys at all. I'm just saying, the first 3 weeks, we thought the Cowboys were unbeatable because they played shit teams. This
but
defense
the,
looks
no,
amazing.
The answer is no, they haven't played anybody. They played Ben Roethlisberger in
Who
his
do they
only
play next
game
week?
This year. They play the Browns this week.
That's something to me. That game shows me something because of course, Vic, you love them, but they're a very dysfunctional organization right now, but they still have
Who, the Pats?
Offensive
yeah.
weapons.
No, so they've got weapons, and there's extra motivation for Belichick going after his 300th win. This is the organization that he started with, by the way. He started with the Browns. He's got a long history there. Him and Nick Saban, this is where they became really good friends. I think there's some extra motivation there. That game is going to be a lot of fun. And that, to me, like, yes, I believe them shutting down the Browns, guys like OBJ, Jarvis Landry, Nick Chubb, who's been running like a man possessed, like the lone consistent bright spot for them. So I will be impressed with this win, because the Browns, we've, yes, they've been a little all over the place, but they only lost Seattle by four before the bye week.
I think not that impressed.
No, I think that they smack them, but we'll talk about that in spread pick them. Moving on to NFL power rankings, I'm curious here for your top five right now in order. Vic, you want to begin? Who is your NFL top five, 1 to 5 power rankings?
I've got Pats 1. I now have the Saints leaping up to 2 at this point. Then the Niners, then the Seahawks, then the Packers, in that order.
Wow.
You don't that loss last week doesn't mean anything to you from the Seahawks.
No, but last week I had them at 2. That's why I moved them back from 2 to 4.
You're moving back a little. Jack?
I got the Pats. I think, talk about defenses, Packer defense is as good as any. So I got the Packers at 2. What I saw from Rodgers last week was amazing. I think Seahawks, Saints, Niners. I know I'm really discounting the Niners here, but I'm just really not sold on Garoppolo. So, yeah. But I have dropped now the Chiefs out of my top five. They're probably like 5A, 5B with the Niners. But, I mean, wow, and the Colts right there. I mean, yeah. Ben, who do you got?
I got to go with the Pats.
Ravens?
Sorry.
Fuck.
I'm picking up. Yeah. I got to go with the Pats at 1. I agree that the Saints at 2. What I've seen them do defensively is this is the best defense the Saints have ever had. And once Drew Brees comes back, I mean, even without him, it doesn't really look like they need him, which is pretty crazy. 3, I go the Niners. 4, I go Baltimore. I think without that weird loss to the Browns, I don't know what to make of that besides emotion, division game. Lamar Jackson is unbelievable. He is, I mean, he could win MVP. We haven't really spoken about that yet, but So I'm putting them at 4, and Green Bay is going to be 5 for me, but I keep seeing weird things out of them. They blow out the Raiders. That looked great. They had a tough game with Detroit that they probably should have lost. I just see
divisional game, but no, I mean, you want
to. I think that they're good. I'd like to see some more games from good teams out of them before I put them higher than 5. MVP race top 3. I'll start. I think that at this point, I have to give MVP to Lamar Jackson, and nobody's talking about it. Lamar Jackson, I think right now has, what's he averaging? Close to 100 yards a game on the ground.
He's got more total yards than half of the NFL.
Yeah, and it's, you watch him play, and he is just lightning. Like, it's not even, people are saying that he looks faster and more dynamic than Michael Vick, which is just, we haven't seen anybody like him since Michael Vick. And I think that if he can lead the Ravens to something like 12-4 with Mahomes missing extended periods of time and with Russell Wilson taking a step back last week in that head-to-head, I don't know. But right now it would be Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson, and then I do think that Mahomes will still have a shot.
Still?
Yeah, because I don't think that they're going to lose. I think that...
You don't think the Chiefs are going to lose without Mahomes?
I think that the defense really stepped up last week.
But doesn't that kind of poke holes in the whole he's so
valuable?
No, because
the defense is great.
Okay. I mean,
you think that he can win MVP if they lose?
I think he proves more value that when he's out, a team loses. When he's in, they win.
I guess that's true.
But so
I'm saying he's only missing 2 weeks. So,
no, I know.
So they say
for
so,
his
I think
sake,
that,
I mean, he's already missing, 2 of the 16 games. It's an eighth of the year. I think you prove yourself in any way you could get it. It's by the team losing and him picking them back up instantly once he hits the field.
There are separate awards for defensive MVPs, right?
Yeah, there's a defensive MVP.
Defensive player of the year?
I'm saying you can't win MVP on the defensive side, right?
No, you could,
right?
No?
You can. There's a defensive MVP and an offensive
Three
MVP.
Men have done it. So Mark Gastano.
So, I'm pretty sure on that. Don't quote me.
Okay, yeah, I'm pretty sure. But so my asterisk guy, if you can, is Nick Bosa.
Okay,
because
yeah,
I think that he's
rookie
the reason
of the year,
why this.
Yeah. My three, I have Wilson number one. Yeah, he had a maybe like a step back last week through his first interception. But what he's doing for this team, I mean, you look at the Seahawks roster; it's not that great. They're trying to pick themselves up in all these trades in the middle of the year. That just shows you that, you know, the roster's not great and what Wilson's doing is unbelievable. Then I have Lamar Jackson because, I mean, in the air, on the ground, Saints are 5-2. I do think that Browns loss was more of a fluke. And then I'm kind of torn between McCaffrey and Rodgers. But just given what Rodgers did last week, the 6 touchdowns, 420-something yards, it was just beautiful. And he's doing it without Davante Adams. I mean, Lazard is now like his go-to guy, and he was a no-name before the year. Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams, he's revitalizing careers. So I got A-Rod at 3.
Yeah, I agree with you, except I actually have Rodgers higher just because of that puts him now at 2,000 yards and 13 touchdowns versus 2 picks. Look, I know he basically got half of it, the 6. So I would go Russ. I still have Russ in there at 1. I have Rodgers at 2. And then, honestly, I have Dalvin Cook at 3. I mean, where would this Vikings team be right now if it wasn't for the run game? You guys already got 720 yards on the ground, 8 touchdowns, I think. And, I mean, to me, that's been their game. They're 5-2. They don't get there without the running game. And he hasn't even been playing full games. Obviously, that doesn't factor in. But the body of work is there. And if the Vikings go on some kind of crazy run, which it looks like they're about to, he's got to be in consideration.
Moving into a spread pick'em here, we're gonna talk about a couple of games, give you our opinions, hopefully win you some money. Beginning with the 2-5 Chargers at the 3-3 Chicago Bears. Chicago opens as a 4-point favorite. The line smells like shit to me. Jack, you're smirking though, so I'm assuming you're all over the Bears.
I am all over the Bears. I think it's funny that we picked this game.
It's because the spread's so interesting.
No, I know. I agree. And at 1 o'clock, I mean, do the Bears bounce back? I think the Bears bounce back.
I'm saying it's a weird... What would you say that the spread should be on this game?
I mean, I really haven't seen anything from the Chargers.
They look like dog shit.
Yeah, they do.
So why is it so low?
I'm not going to complain. I know you're like, smells like shit, probably is shit, tastes like shit.
It's delicious.
Hey, Jack, you make that? Out of my ass. I got the Bears bouncing back big time. I think this is just like run the fucking ball. They ran it 7 times last week. Nagy was saying, we got to run the ball. I'm not an idiot. Nagy, you are an idiot, but run the ball.
Idiot.
I like the Chargers. The season is literally on the line here. You've had 2 weeks now to figure out how you want to use your best player, Melvin Gordon, and they haven't done that quite yet. I understand the first week they were playing from behind against the Steelers. I don't even know how that happened. I mean, the Steelers literally had nobody. I mean, they were under Devlin Hodges. But, I mean, look, the Bears were favored last week against a Saints team without Alvin Kamara, and they lost by 10. I mean, the Bears even gave up 36 points last week. And I'm not saying the Chargers are even close to the Saints level, but everybody's healthy for the Chargers now. The season is literally hanging in the balance. You're 2-5. You just lost a heartbreaker against Tennessee when you couldn't get it on the goal line. So for me, all the marbles are there, and the Chargers are going to go all in. They're going to get this win.
Is Hicks playing?
No, he's out until week 15.
So I'm also going to take the Chargers because I think that this is a very weird game, and I'm not going to say that it's all on Hicks not being in on defense for the Bears, but something changed for that Bears defense last week. If you give up 40 points to Teddy Bridgewater and the Saints, you have some problems back there. So who knows? I do think that the Chargers season is over, but I think that 4 points, they could cover. Phillip Rivers loves a nice backdoor. So it is possible that they cover this game, and I'd take it there. Next up is Jets at the Jaguars. Jacksonville is a 6-point favorite. Jack, thoughts?
Jets at Jaguars.
Do you think that the Jets bounce back?
You know what? Yes, I think the Jets bounce back. We were absolutely demoralized on primetime TV last week. I mean, I love Minshew, but I love Darnold a little more. I think the whole Minshew mania, it's kind of settled. It's simmered. You love the Jags defense. Well, they just lost their head honcho and Jalen Ramsey. I think the Jets go down there and get that second win. Also, I do have them finishing 11-5, so mathematically
the Jets.
We do have to win this. So I like the Jets here.
Vic? Yeah, I'm going to go with them also. You
Jed Homers.
Look, you've had time to make adjustments.
The 6 points, not the money
six,
line, right?
Yeah,
the
six. Plus six.
He's taking them out.
I think they're going to game plan extremely well for Leonard Fournette, and then you just sort of harass Minshew, and you get in the back. I think they're going to be playing loose and fast. Nobody's going to be watching this freaking game besides me. So, you know, all the pressure's off. There's no mic'd up crap, none of that. It's just a 1 p.m. game.
This game should be in London.
Jacksonville.
If there were ever a game to be in London, it should be this.
Yeah, and Darnold's going to be playing in
the
nice warm weather.
One guy seeing ghosts, send them to England.
I like the Jets plus 6-2. I think that when you get your ass fucking handed to you like that, you got to show some pride. The defensive front has been good enough, and if you can't get the run game started, if you're the Jags, Fournette is the key to that puzzle. He runs well, Minshew's able to move, and I like the 6 points there. Giants at the Lions. Lions are a 7-point favorite here. Do we think that the Lions bounce back from a rough loss to Green Bay? Or do we think that the Giants bounce back from a horrific loss at home to the Cardinals?
I don't know the impact of this Diggs deal, like if it's now sucked the life out of this defense a little bit. And I don't want to make it a bigger deal than it is, but the Giants' two wins, I mean, they've been competitive pretty much all year. I like them plus 7.
Yeah, I'm with the Giants also. I just feel like the Lions won't really, you know, be able to get everything ready. I mean, obviously, these are professionals. They're going to go out there and do their job. But it really seems like this could be a carryover effect when you lose a guy in the locker room everyone loves. And, you know, Saquon Barkley, this will be his second game back, I think, after the injury. Even though he, like, was a little hobbled last week. I don't know what's going on there. He's got to be healthy at this point. They're probably going to get Sterling Shepard back after the concussion. You got Evan Engram. You got the weapons in a dome. I think Daniel Jones is going to thrive in this environment.
I hope so. I mean, you get a different Daniel Jones every week. Is he good? Is he not good? What he looked like against a Cardinals defense that is not exactly a well-regarded D. Granted, it was raining. This may have actually been his first game in
right.
the rain.
And it was Patrick Peterson's first game back for the Cardinals. I mean,
so maybe
that's not
an
the be-all, end-all, but they had some, you know, all-pro guys there.
Yeah, I've been pretty high, though, on this Lions team most of the year, and the offense didn't really change. I guess that if what's-his-name is out, if Kerryon Johnson is out, then I take the Giants plus 7. Okay, so then I take the Giants plus 7 because I think
with confidence.
Because I think that changes this team. We were talking about it earlier. Browns at the Pats. The Pats are a 13-point favorite. Do we think that the Browns stand a chance or this is a blowout?
I'm going the Pats minus 13. Let's keep it going. They got something to prove because everyone else is like, they played the Jets twice. They played a bunch of dog shit. Well, you got your fair share of dog shit coming through Foxborough this week, Vic.
Who you taking, Brownie?
I'm not ready to give up on Cleveland yet.
Fuck you.
Let me tell you something. The New England Patriots have not seen a dominant back. Who have they seen?
Le'Veon.
He didn't get a chance to run because they were so far behind. And he had 13 carries. By the way, Le'Veon Bell started that first half. He had 58 yards and 13 carries to start that game off. The Jets had to go away from the run game. They are not going to be ready for Nicholas Chubb. I think he's going to run for about 150 yards. I think the Pats win this in like a field goal expiring type of game.
Whoa!
Let me tell you something. Brown's going to put up a test. People are going to believe again. It'll be a belief and a loss. But coming off the bye week, going in there, look, you're 2-4 now. You've had your shitty losses. You've gotten those out of the way. Two horrible losses at home. So, you know, if there's ever a time, three bad losses at home. I mean, I don't really know. This is the time for the Browns.
What do you think? What do you think Chubb puts up this week?
The Browns haven't won a game at home yet.
What you're super high. Now, it was Baker. Now it's all in Chubb. So what does Chubb put up? Give me like a
150 yards, two touchdowns, and a few catch, three catches for 24
yards.
They haven't seen a running back that's this good.
Good. So I think that
I love it.
I think that the Patriots absolutely annihilate them because you even said the stat earlier in the show. Baker Mayfield is what, 22 years old?
No, but the stat is that they just win the game. They don't Doesn't say by how many points.
Great. I'm sure that if you look at that stat, they also beat them by a significant margin. I think that...
What is with you and Baker?
He likes to just ride him into the ground. He doesn't like to flip-flop.
It's 13
ride.
Points. It's not,
ride.
It's not a lifeline. It's not plus three.
You said it would be three.
Yeah, it will be. That's my assumption. That's my guess for this game.
You think they're
going to
win
by
3 points?
No, lose.
You think the Patriots are going to win by 3 points?
I think they're going to put up a crazy good fight that no one's expecting.
Look, if he's right.
You were right on the Browns.
If he's right,
Ravens.
He looks like a genius. So I respect the call. I like the Pats to cruise. Carolina at the 49ers. San Francisco is a 6-point favorite. Very, very interesting game. Jack, I think we can skip you because you already said that you thought that the Panthers were going to win this game.
CMC, 3 scores.
Vic.
Yeah, I'm with you. I can't believe now I'm picking... 6, 4, 5 road dogs.
You should really parlay them.
But
Jesus Christ.
I'm going to do it beyond Christian McCaffrey. We've said, and the same reason I think the Pats are going to struggle with the Browns. The Niners haven't seen a guy that's like Colin. Christian McCaffrey. He's unstoppable. He literally just eats and eats and eats and eats and chunk yardage.
Zeke.
And coming off a bye week, going to San Francisco. Nice, cool temperatures up in the Bay.
Maybe he'll have Olivia on his arm.
He's going to be back home. Just remember, we played college, Stanford. Ooh. This is a nice homecoming game for Christian McCaffrey.
Wow, good call.
So, +6 all the way.
The Stanford effect.
I also like the 6 points. I think that I don't know what impact that very, very bizarre rain game between the Redskins and the 49ers will have on their bodies.
It
didn't really look like a comfortable game to play in. Like, I don't know if everybody left injured or if they left. It's just weird. So I expect kind of a lowish scoring game there, and I'd grab the 6 points.
But I think all that matters for the Niners is Bosa looks okay because he was doing slip and slides all over the place. And, I mean, he popped right back up.
He's having fun.
Yeah, he's a character. I like him.
And apparently the fastest game since, like, the
80s. Yeah,
two and a half hours.
It was insane.
Well, the clock was literally just running. Because he couldn't throw the fucking ball.
You couldn't walk. I couldn't believe it when they were, like, running the ball. There were some times where you'd get, like, stuck in a puddle. Yeah. What's wrong with their field?
Scott loved delivering that stat.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, here's a fun fact.
Guys, get a load of this.
Oh, man, that was good. And the last one here to wrap us up, Green Bay at the Chiefs. No Mahomes, remember.
Well.
Green Bay is a 4-point favorite in the kingdom, in Arrowhead.
In the kingdom.
Chiefs kingdom.
Chiefs kingdom. What
calls it?
This isn't Disneyland.
They call it Chiefs kingdom.
Who's
they?
They?
Me? They don't call it Chiefs kingdom.
You're that's
island
in Arrowhead. One with this one. Wait, who's the quarterback? Matt Moore?
Yes.
All right, give me the Packers.
-4.
Yep.
Apparently Mahomes hasn't been ruled out. This may just be Andy Reid being Andy Reid, just trying to fool people.
Andy Reid doesn't
because
fool anyone.
Mahomes threw in practice today. So if that's any, it's literally his kneecap popped a week ago. So less. I don't know what to take from that, but the fact that he's throwing the ball.
Assuming
he's not playing, and even if he was playing, I still ride the Packers with this one. Rodgers, I think, found his form. And, you know, Jack mentioned, and even Lazard didn't even actually have a major catch last week. It was somebody, yeah.
There's his presence.
There's always somebody else.
It was Scantling.
No, it wasn't even.
It was Scantling.
It doesn't matter who it is. Because what Aaron Rodgers does is the same thing that Tom Brady does as well. It makes everybody better around him. And if you've been horrible on a team, you've been given a second chance, you haven't been, it doesn't matter. Rodgers is going to make you look good. And he extends plays as best as anybody we've seen in our short 27 years of life. But that's just the fact of the matter is, and he loves these primetime games. Eats them up.
Do you have a stat about primetime before I make my picks, or are you just saying he likes
them? No, I just know. Aaron Rodgers.
Rodgers prefers primetime over other times.
Always.
So whenever your main guy goes out, you expect other people to step up, and the defense, granted it was against the Denver Broncos, did not allow a point in the second half of that game after he went out. I like 820 at home. I grab the 4 points. I think that the defense steps up. I think that they still have unbelievable weapons. I think that Moore looked pretty capable. And I've seen that. What I was saying before, some games that Packers defense looks insane. And some games it looks eh. So, I don't know. Home dog? Why not? You guys think I'm crazy. You're looking at me like I'm crazy.
I just slightly. I mean, who did the Broncos? Case Keenum.
You just compared. Yeah, Case Keenum.
No, no, no. Sorry. Not Flacco, Case Keenum.
Flacco.
God,
Aaron Rodgers.
You gotta put like duct tape on
his I wasn't comparing to Aaron Rodgers. I was just simply just saying that the Chiefs D didn't give up.
They're looking okay.
They're looking okay. Yeah, I mean, what should we talk about now? Fantasy? A little fantasy update? Yeah, a little fantasy update for the boys? Am I still winning or I'm now losing?
You and
Why
I are
you
tied.
Just look at the fucking standings.
We're both 5-2. We're in different divisions. I'm in the West Coast.
I'm still in first. What do you know? 5-2.
We're
we're both in first. And who's
West
sitting,
Side?
Who's sitting alone at the bottom? How lonely is it down there?
Not me, got two wins now, baby.
Whoa.
Run a bit of a heater.
Oh, shit, I'm sorry. The Brothers Weberman.
Brothers Weberman.
I just read the last name.
A combined 3-11.
Max has taken over your spot as, 1-6.
Warming it up for you.
You guys just wait.
It's actually not his fault because if I remember draft day, he drafted Ben Roethlisberger, and that's got to hurt your season.
You don't draft
that's a killer. Ben.
Yeah, I agree there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, just get ready.
Who do you guys like this week?
On my team or in general?
In general. I like those better.
In general, who do I like this week? I like Kirk Cousins. I think that Kirk Cousins is going to – I mean, for that same reason, I like Dalvin Cook. I like most of the Vikings this week at home after a weird – again, that rain game, you say it doesn't have any impact. I don't know. It's just weird. The spread on that game is at 17, which is why we didn't even talk about it. So I think anybody on offense for the Vikings, I like this week to handle that Redskin D.
Yeah, a guy I love, it's got to be Chris Carson. They're getting the Falcons defense that
Oof.
Is, I mean, silver plattering. It puts it lightly. People are literally gashing them. For 20, 30 yards at a time. The season's in the tubes. Dan Quinn's beyond on the hot seat. That thing is cooked, overcooked, fried, souffled, sauteed. I don't know what else you need to do. Get this guy off the sidelines. The players are playing for nothing. And now that Sanu's gone, forget about it. And when the game's in cruise control, they're just going to keep feeding Carson.
Brothers Carson.
It's going to look like there are 8 Carsons out there. They're going to be seeing ghosts.
I'm seeing ghosts.
That's what I'm telling you.
What's the spread on that game, and where is that game?
It's in Atlanta, but it doesn't even matter.
No, but what is it?
If I had to guess, it's 11.5 for the Seahawks.
You think it's that much?
Let's see if I'm close.
Yep.
Let's see if I'm close.
Vic always calls the spread.
I think it's 6.
I don't know.
That's my guess.
Oh, I think they're I think it's on a freezer right now because Matt Ryan's questionable.
Oh, good call.
But I don't even think that matters.
On ice.
I mean, did you just see how they looked against the Rams? It was a joke.
Well, that's why. I know we were, especially me, I was ripping this guy earlier. I like Jared Goff at home against the Bengals. Last week, he absolutely torched the Falcons.
By the way, this ain't just at home to the home team, but you know where this game is.
Oh, yeah.
Wembley Stadium.
You really?
We're shipping out
to
London. We're shipping out.
But it is at 1 o'clock, people. You don't have to wake up at 9 a.m. if you've got them in your lineup.
Ooh, the L.A. fans. What time do they have to wake up?
It'll be a night game. Maybe that's why they did it. So they only have to wake up at 6 a.m. as opposed to 3 a.m. Wouldn't you actually rather the 3 a.m.?
No.
Think about it.
They have to.
They're 8 hours back from England.
You just stay up. You rage.
L.A.
Oh, true.
5-3.
Yuck.
So, maybe, what time are they waiting? What time? 3.
They're going to have to wake up at 6 a.m.
6 or 3?
Wait. Hang on. If the game is being played at 1 o'clock
Sorry,
here.
Sorry, 5 a.m.
Then it's.
No. 1 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, 1 p.m. Eastern
means
that it's 10 a.m. in LA.
What's wrong with you?
What are you talking
fine.
About?
I don't know. For some reason, I thought it was 1
Why
p.m.
Am I
in London.
To
you were saying 1
p.m.
7 p.m.
in London. 7 p.m. in London.
Correct, which is
a
very normal start.
7, 6.
So I like Goff. I know beating the Falcons is no longer a feat, but good for him. He's got Cincinnati at his favorite place, Wembley Stadium. So you know the Brits love their LA Rams. So I think it's going to be a very favorable crowd. Nobody really likes the
Bengals.
Bengals
still without a win. I don't know who's getting the win first, if it's them or the Dolphins. But if you've got somebody playing against either of those teams, fire them up.
Poor Andy Dalton. He's just
Red Rocket.
That guy's gotten enough money.
Matt Bonner. They're
he had his days at TCU.
What'd you call him, Red Rocket?
Red Rocket.
That's gross. I just think of my dog's dick whenever somebody says Red Rocket. What? Pause? Wow, Vic Schwitzing.
Oh, yeah.
Look at his armpits.
Oh, dude,
that's
you look
nice.
Like you have wings.
I know, good thing I brought
Red
an extra shirt with me.
Gills.
Red Bull gives you
All wings. Right, Ben. Drum roll, please.
Some kind of big
quick
update.
Oh, you don't want a quick Survivor update?
Oh, okay. Well,
wow, you're jumping the gun
I'm excited.
Here. All right, just a quick... Yeah, no, we can let them wait a little on the update. Just a quick Survivor update. Half the half the entries are still alive. I'm out. You're out. Vic, you still in?
No, I'm still in.
Wow.
The Bills gave me and 129 other people a scare last week against the 0-6 Dolphins. It was close.
It was.
The Dolphins were actually winning at one point, and Fitzpatrick made it interesting down the stretch. So you lucked out there. People who had the Niners, you lucked out there with the rain. One guy had the Pats, or girl. I don't know who it was. So, yeah, this week, the big favorites, you're looking at Pats minus 13. You got Rams minus 13.5. If you want to get in that Thursday action, you got the Vikings. Every other spread's a bit closer, I think.
Everybody go around, pick one lock of the week.
I'm going Rams, although that's been a big mistake going with your gut in these London games. But I'm sticking with the Rams.
Little Zach Taylor revenge match, Sean McVay, yep. Little disciple. I will just stick with the Vikings, at home. I know Thielen's out, but after, we just said it, the rain, that was a battle for the ages. I don't even know what kind of toll that takes on your body
for, the ages?
For less than 5 days.
It was
a rainstorm. Sorry. Sorry.
It was a rainstorm.
It was a rainstorm for the ages. The actual game was not one for the ages.
It was pretty nuts. I have to go with the Pats. If you still, the problem is that Survivor's so tough, you don't want to use them, but we didn't talk about that. So Pats this week, a lock. Vic, you shared the stat earlier in the show that I'm just going to keep holding on to. 20-0. 21-0 against quarterbacks.
Soon to be 21-0.
Quarterbacks in their first or second year.
So they're not going to lose.
It's going to be 21-0.
It's going to be 21-0.
But close.
And now, drumroll, please. The update is that our tailgate has been confirmed. We have a date, December 8th at MetLife Stadium. Jets versus your Miami Dolphins.
Let's go.
They could be
revenge
0-11
match
at that point. 0-12.
It's the hottest ticket in town.
I was going to say, that makes it even more exciting. If we can go there, you'll be rooting for the Dolphins against the Jets, won't you?
I might be in my Canes jersey with a Jet hat.
Yeah, exactly.
I might be that guy. And like my Kobe shorts or something. I don't know. Fucking Nick shorts.
Well, better be a jersey of someone that's playing.
No, I want to wear
that's
something.
That's my other thing. If you're going to
someone,
oh,
not,
my God.
We should all wear different sports, different cities.
Why? To just like really piss off Vic? That'll kill him. That'll kill him.
I'm just going to call people out one by one.
He just won't come. But so, yeah, super, super fun. The tailgate's going to be at 10 o'clock. We're going to release more details in the coming weeks, but we're talking caviar. We're talking cigar rollers.
Really?
We're talking heated tents.
Ooh.
Burgers, dogs, Sandies.
Margaritas.
You like the way I said Sandies?
Margarita.
On tap.
On tap.
Margaritas
beers.
On tap.
Beers. We're not
beers,
disclosing
and
which
of
type.
Course,
no.
Hard seltzer,
and
baby.
We're also not disclosing what type Bon and Viv. Yes, we're going to disclose Bon and Viv season. We love them over here.
I mean, if you love White Claw, you're going to love that.
Yeah, I mean,
what's White Claw?
Yeah, I don't know what White Claw is either.
But cornhole, beer pong, everything. You name it.
Everything. It's
loud
be
music.
It's going to be so fun.
We're not
going
to the game either, so we're just going to party in the snow. Hopefully it's snowing. Doesn't that help?
I don't know. Or it could be one of those off days where it's like
beautiful.
60 degrees in December.
That's way
and
better
and
than
please. And if you still think climate change isn't a real thing, this planet's on fire.
Please. please. Oh, my God. If it was hot, that would be unbelievable.
So
but
we're
gonna but
circulate,
it's open to everyone.
We're going
to
circulate a list, right? As we get closer, and just put your name on a list, you and some friends.
Yeah, so what you're going to need to do is you're going to need to sign up for the tailgate. You're going to need to show us that you subscribe to the podcast, which I'm assuming if you hear from here that you can. Of course, you can bring plus ones, no problem, but this is
going to should be on the list for the raffle.
This is going to be capped at 150 people, so it's the first 150 people that sign up. That is it. We do not have enough food for more than those people. We do not have enough drinks. This
not
is
even enough cigars. No. I know. You'd think, oh, these guys, they're rolling a dough. They probably got a million cigars. No, we got 150 cigars.
So just follow up, watch. It's going to be on Instagram. Instagram and our private Facebook group, the Schvitzer.
Schvitzer's got first dibs.
That's where you get the updates. So if you're following us there, you'll be sure to see it. It's going to be a great time. Can't wait to party with all of
you. Question for
you. But that's our big announcement.
I'm a Schvitzer. Do I need to buy a ticket to the game to go to the tailgate?
You do not, but you will need to take the train.
Great.
If you plan on driving, which I wouldn't recommend because we're
great.
Trying to get
Took
fucked
it the
up,
other day.
You will need to buy a separate parking pass.
Everyone
they don't
take
let
the
you
train.
In.
It's easy. Penn Station to Secaucus.
Secaucus
to Meadowlands.
Secaucus Junction. But I would recommend scooping a ticket to the game. They're probably going to be dirt cheap because
they're gonna be paying you.
This is the Dolphins, and who knows where the Jets will be. But I wouldn't recommend buying that one now. I'd wait until StubHub last minute, try and get one $6 Upper Deck,
or someone might pay you to go. I mean, anything is possible.
And so we're gonna be there 10 a.m. to well after that game started, partying, having a great time, and we hope to see you all there. Well, folks, that's our show. Thanks you guys so much. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. As always, I'm Ben at Boy With No Job.
I'm Vic at VWeb.
And I'm Jack at Jack Not John.
Please remember to follow us on Instagram at The Schwitz. Please remember to follow us private Facebook group, The Schwitzers. It's super important now, especially as we'll have updates on tailgate and merch and things like that. Definitely be in tune over there. What else?
Rate, review, subscribe.
Yeah, that was great.
To this podcast, wherever you're listening. We hope it's podcast, but if you're one of those weird Spotify guys,
totally,
just do it anyways.
Do it anyways, but like, what are you doing? Everybody's
Well, you've got an Android phone. That's really what you're doing.
So then that's fine. You know, I'm not gonna make fun of Harry Steinberg for having an Android. Do you think anybody else has an Android?
My brother does.
Oh, well.
Some people just love it.
Well, he's six in our fantasy league, so I toss that in the river.
All right. Have a good weekend, folks.